Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. And if you're really gifted, 1 Kings chapter 17. Shall we stand together the book of Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 20? Luke chapter 4, verse 20. Jesus is in the synagogue at Nazareth. And it says in verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love, your patience, Lord, for second chances. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this lesson, this sermon this morning. We pray, Lord, for that soul that has never accepted thee as Savior. And Lord, we know that even today, this could be our last day on earth. May we prepare ourselves to meet you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Let us continue reading from the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, or that is Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Jesus has returned home to Nazareth. Remember that Jesus was a Nazarene. He was not a Nazarite. But we find that he came back to Nazareth. And as is custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. May I say this? It should be our custom to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. And he was the one to read that day from the prophets. And he read from the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. And let us look at what he read, beginning at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it was at that point that he stopped his reading and closed the book and gave the book back to the minister. And he says to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He is saying that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that has been prophesied about, and he has come to do these things. And some question asking, is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter? How could this be the Messiah? And Jesus would say, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And how often that is true. He then reminds them of two events in their nation's history. One of a widow who cared for the prophet Elijah during the time of a famine, and one leper who was healed when he gave heed to the words of Elisha. There in verses 25 and 26, we hear of this widow. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, I made mention that we'd be turning there. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, we will not be doing this whole story about Elijah. We did much of it on Wednesday night, but we did not necessarily do this part. But beginning at verse 1 of chapter 17, we find an Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now, let's understand that Elijah is a man of God. He is a prophet. He is one that has told the king how and what to do. And we find that Ahab is a king of Israel. Now, we know that Israel has had a civil war, as it were. There were two southern tribes now, and they were known as the southern tribes, or Judah and Benjamin. And there were the 10 northern tribes, and Ahab was the king of the 10 northern tribes. He was a wicked, wicked man. His wife was even, if possible, even more wicked than Ahab. And we find that Elijah has come unto Ahab and says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, he says there will not be rain. Jesus said, how long did it go without rain? 3 years and 6 months. Now, can you imagine, the month of March here was very dry. Boy, has April made up for a dry March. But can you imagine 3.5 years like March? No dew, no rain. Do you think the water levels of the Great Lakes would go down? Do you think that the river like Clinton would go down? Do you think there would be problems in our country, in our farmlands, in the producing of food? There would be problems. Of course, gas would go up. You know, isn't that the way it is? Somebody sneezes in the Middle East and the gas prices go up. 3.5 years without rain, guarantee you the gas prices would go up. I'm going to tell you this, 3.5 years, you tell the king, this is going to happen because of you. Beginning at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. Now that's Elijah. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens. Now that's not the football team. That was a little humor in there, folks. Commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now we find that he is obedient to the Lord's instructions. And he goes there. Now, we are not sure of the location of the brook Cherith. There is really no defining point there that we can find. Obviously, it was a secure hiding spot because Elijah becomes a wanted man. You know, the fact that it didn't rain for a couple of months after Elijah had come to the king was no big deal. But when it hadn't rained for 6 months, that was a big deal. And when it hadn't rained for 9 months, it became a bigger deal. And when it hadn't rained for 1.5 years, I'm sure there were those who were saying to King Ahab, you better find Elijah, because it's not going to rain until he says so. And you better find him. And he's hiding there at the brook Cherith. And interesting, the ravens, scavengers, if you would bring him his food. Morning and evening, the ravens came, obedient to the instructions of the Lord. Are we smarter than a raven? You hope you are, but if you're not listening and following the words of your Lord, you're dumber than a raven. Because the ravens obeyed the Lord. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah's saying, the water is getting shallower. I wonder what I'm going to do to drink. Beginning at verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow lady there to sustain thee. May I say this, there were many widows in Israel. But God did not send him to a widow in Israel. He was to send him to a widow in Zidon, over against the Mediterranean Sea. We continue reading that he arose and he goes there. And there we find that, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He does go. And he's going to come to Zarephath. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, we find that Elijah has been sent to this widow lady there at Zarephath. Now, there wasn't a AAA place around to get a map, so I'm not sure how he knew where it was. But he makes his way there, and he's hungry when he gets there. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? He's been traveling for a while. And he goes into this city, and there at the gate of the city, he finds a woman. Now, I don't know if he knew immediately that this was the woman that he was to ask for food and lodging, but it's the one that he does ask. And he goes in and he says, I would like something to drink, and if you would, please, something to eat. And verse 11 says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it, and what? Die. Now let me ask you something. How long could you survive on the food that you have in your house right now? Some of you probably could last easily 2 weeks. Some of you could probably last 2 months. My wife, a while back, we were down in Ohio in Amish country, and she found this bag of oatmeal. Oats. I could survive on that for 10 years. But the fact of the matter is, if that was all that I had, and a few cans of peas, I don't know about Brussels sprouts, but I would survive. I would eat the peas in a famine, folks. But this woman has nothing but a little bit for a last meal for her and her son. Now, I hope I'm making you hungry, because this woman had nothing else. And how dare this man come and say, get me some cake. Give me something to eat. Can you imagine what you would think? It hasn't rained for maybe 2 years. There's famine in the land. Food is important. Let's continue reading. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain unto the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Of all the widows in Israel, the Lord sent his prophet Elijah to a widow in Zidon to sustain both him and the widow and her son. So when Jesus reminds these people in Nazareth of this Gentile widow, they were upset. They were indignant. They were frustrated. They were angry. How dare he even mention that? I mean, after all, they were God's chosen people. Why would the Lord send this man to a Gentile? And why was she blessed during this famine? Do you ever get jealous of other people? Do you ever say to yourself, well, why can't I have that? Why do they have this much? And folks, we've put our eyes on things instead of on our Lord. We should be glad that other people have good things. We should be glad that God has blessed them. We should be glad that he has blessed us. May I say this, one of your greatest blessings is the fact that you can go to church. Do you realize that? That one of your greatest blessings is that you can gather together in God's house and sing songs and give an offering and hear the sermon. That should be something that we are thankful for on our daily basis. Thank God for the Covenant Baptist Church. Thank God for churches that are proclaiming the Word of God today. Back momentarily in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 27 says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Now to 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. See, Elijah survived first at the brook Cherith and then in the house of the widow of Zarephath. And God provided through this widow. But now we have the story of Elisha and a little maid and Naaman. Again, a Gentile. And notice what it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Syria, again and again, would come into Israel and take away people. And yet we find that the Lord had given deliverance to Syria through this man. He was captain of the host of Syria, but a leper. What a blight his leprosy must have been in his life. Successful, valiant, noble, but a leper. His loathsome disease must have haunted him day and night. There was no physician in Syria who could help him. He had the dread of this disease until he died. But praise God, who uses little things to achieve his purpose. See, a leper is a person affected with leprosy, and there were two basic types. One is called lepromatous. Now you say, Pastor Paul, say that over again. I'm not even going to try. It was brownish red spots on the face, ears, forearms, thighs, and buttocks, which later became thickened nodules, and losing their skin covering became ulcers, and then the subsequent loss of tissue. There was also the tuber type, and it's characterized by numbness of an affected area of skin and deformity such as fingers becoming like claws, resulting from paralysis and the wasting away of the muscles. We know that in Bible days, if someone had leprosy and someone came near him, and the people of Israel, they were to cry out, unclean, unclean. Now, can you imagine people are coming towards you and you have to yell out unclean about yourself? The other day, I was in a store and a man walked by and I wanted to shout out, unclean. I mean, his odor was unclean. Oh, it was bad. I noticed as the other people were around him, they all just kind of moved away. That's how they would do around a leper. They would move away. They didn't want to get near him, which is amazing that when Jesus healed some lepers, he touched them and healed them. Leprosy was used as a symbol for self-righteousness and stubbornness, as seen in Naaman. But here in 2 Kings 5, verses 2 and 3, we find, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" I ponder this thought. What if it wasn't a little maid? What if it was you? What if you were the maid? And you're an adult person. And you've been taken out of your land. And you find out that your mistress's husband has leprosy. Would you declare there's someone that can heal him? Or would you say, "Good. I'm glad he's got leprosy. I hope he dies." See, there's a difference, isn't there? This little maid had faith in the God of Israel. And she said, "Would God he knew about this man that could heal him." Verse 5 tells us of the news of the maid reaching the ears of the king of Syria, that there was a man of God who could cure leprosy in the land of Israel. And you know what the king of Syria is going to do? He's going to send Naaman to Israel. And he sends the captain of the army to the king of Israel, which of course brought great consternation to the king. Because who am I? Am I God that I can heal this man? He's just wanting a quarrel against us. But Elisha heard the distress of the king of Israel. And he sends word to have Naaman come to him so that it may be known that there is a prophet in Israel. May I say this, that God always has a remnant. God always has those that will follow him. Are you willing to be part of that remnant? Are you willing to be used of the Lord here in your life? Let's begin reading at verse 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Now you get the picture. Naaman, this great man in Syria, has come to this humble home of Elisha. The king of Israel couldn't have helped, even though he had access to the very same God. And Naaman comes and he's there at the door. And verse 10 says, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him." Elisha doesn't even come out. Elisha is not impressed by his honor and his wealth. He realizes he's simply a man just like himself. And the messenger comes out saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now, here he's a leper. He's probably had many treatments. And a servant of the man of God comes out and says, "Wash yourself 7 times in the river Jordan." Verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" See, Naaman had in his mind what should be done. Oftentimes we have in our mind what should be done. But God has a plan. Many times men get angry because God has a plan. They fight against God because God has a plan. Ask Cain. He fought against God. We find now, verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he say to thee, 'Wash and be clean.'" And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. A Gentile. Of all the lepers that lived at that point in time, God healed a Gentile. You should be glad that God loves Gentiles. He loves the people of Israel, but he loves Gentiles. And the problem is, when Jesus brought up these two stories, the one of the widow and the one of the leper being cleansed, they were angry that God would have any dealings with the Gentiles. But Jesus came to die for sinners. We are all sinners. In this room today, there are sinners who are saved by grace, and there are sinners who are doomed and damned and headed for hell. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking, have you been to church? I'm not asking, are you a member of some church in some area around here? I'm not saying, do you have 17 Bibles in your possession? I'm saying, do you know Jesus Christ of the Bible? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? See, the Jews had religion. Jesus Christ was bringing them salvation. Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He is our Lord. Is he your Lord today? Do you know him? Shall we stand together? And as we're about to have a song of invitation, Jesus desired to stir them up by way of remembrance, reminding them of the widow and reminding them of Naaman, reminding them that God is able to heal and to take care of those he chooses to do so with. Are you his? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Dear Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time. And though the time was short, Lord, may the words that were said encouraging us to do right, to follow after you in faith. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.